This is Jay Sekulow defending a veterans memorial on Veterans Day.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Coming to you from Washington, D.C. So let me give you a couple things we're going to get into. Of course, it's important because it's Veterans Day, especially yesterday. The holiday is celebrated today as a federal holiday. But as we celebrate those who serve our country and served our country, we want to take reference to that. We're also going to be talking about a case involving a World War I Memorial Cross that is challenged all the way to Supreme Court. I'll be joined with our friend Kelly Shackelford, who's going to be talking about the case from First Liberty. His firm is actually handling it at the Supreme Court. We're filing friend of the court briefs on their behalf. But this is a case that's been around, my goodness, for a long time. And we've defended a lot of these memorial cases with good success. And I'm optimistic the Supreme Court will as well. So Veterans Day was technically Sunday yesterday, November 11th, but is commemorated today as a holiday. Formerly is known as Armistice Day. This is a holiday that was originally created to commemorate the end of World War I, which officially took place at the 11th hour on the 11th month on November 11th. And it is the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I and the centennial of this national holiday. It was in 1954 that the 83rd Congress responded to veteran service organizations, and in the aftermath of World War II and the Korean War, deleted the word armistice and inserted the word veterans. It was signed by President Eisenhower on June 1st, and that's what we're celebrating today. We're going to be talking to some of our veterans here at the ACLJ, but we also want to hear from veterans or family members of veterans from around the country and get your impression of the importance of service to our country and how you see things now. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan's in our media center. Jordan?
Yeah, that's right. I want to remind people the cross we are fighting for here, the Bladensburg Peace Cross, was a World War I monument put up just a few years after the end of World War I. So we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I, or Armistice Day, that became Veterans Day. This memorial, this Peace Cross, was put in place initially not as a veterans memorial, because it predates that, but as a World War I memorial for those who served in the area around Bladensburg, Maryland, which is outside Washington, D.C., in Prince George's County. So this was not a national monument. This was a monument local, put up by the American Legion for World War I, just a few years after the war ended. And honestly, it took until 2014 for anyone to challenge. I've been to this memorial. We've showed it to you before. It's on a roundabout in Bladensburg, Maryland. And again,
do we have a shot of it that we could show
for our Facebook and Periscope audience? And honestly, I will tell you, that picture is from ground up. Makes it look much bigger than it truly is. It's a large monument, but again, it's historic. I mean, now it's nearly 100 years old itself, 93 years old, representing first the World War I veterans, but now around it, all veterans. So I think, look at those pictures. It is American history that this atheist organization is trying to take down.
The petition we have supporting it, by the way, over 218,000 of you have signed on to it. We're going to be filing a brief at the American Center for Law and Justice, as well as our 218,000, we're sure we'll get that increased, members, and probably looks like a general from the United States Marines will be joining our brief as well, so that'll be interesting. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Coming up on the broadcast, Kelly Shackelford is going to join us and give us a little bit of history of the case. That's been going on for a while now, so we'll get that, and we'll also talk to our veterans, Skip Ash and Wes Smith. They'll be joining us as well, both colonels, retired United States Army. So we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We especially want to talk to you if you're a veteran or veterans in your family. And again, a happy Veterans Day, and thank you to those that continue to serve our country, to those that have served our country. It means so much. We couldn't do this what we do every week and every day without those freedoms that you fight for, and we appreciate that again so much. All right, we'll take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. But don't forget, we are in a matching challenge campaign. Jordan, let's tell everybody how they can participate.
Yes, online at aclj.org. Whatever you're able to donate is doubled. So a $5 donation becomes $10, and you're just charged $5. $10 donation becomes $20, you're just charged $10. That is a matching challenge you can be part of at ACLJ to support the work that we do at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American.
I'll tell you what, we're going to play Proud to Be American, our band did with Lee Greenwood at the end of the broadcast today. For those that are watching, I'm sure we're putting that up on Facebook and Periscope as well. We'll probably put that out today as we do in honor of our veterans. Joining us right now is Kelly Shackelford. He is the president of First Liberty. He is the primary legal team that has got the case. It's Cap, let me read everybody the technical caption of the case. The American Legion versus the American Humane Association, and then the Maryland National Capital Park and Planning Commission versus the American Humanist Association. Those cases have been combined. Kelly, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me, Jay.
Let's talk about the history of this. Kelly, you've been involved in this case for a long time. You do a lot of these cases. You represent the American Legion. You've represented Purple Heart Federation and others. Tell us a little bit about this one. We know some of the history, but I think it'd be important to restate it, especially on this Veterans Day. By the way, for those that don't know, the case has been granted review at the Supreme Court, so it's not pending. It's pending in the sense that it hasn't been argued yet, but it is before the Supreme Court. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, this is the first religious liberty case granted in the session, and it's a major one because it's going to affect all of our veterans' memorials. This case goes back almost 100 years, which is appropriate of all days, Jay, for us to be talking about this. This goes back to Prince George's County, which is right outside of Washington, D.C., the American Legion, and especially mothers who lost their sons in World War I. Put up a memorial to remember the 49 young men from Prince George's County who gave their lives in World War I. And the stories are tremendous when you look at them. And we've got this all available. If people want to look at any of the stuff, they can go to firstliberty.org. But the stories of these people, I mean, many of the mothers never had their son return. So in a way, this was almost the gravestone. They considered it the gravestone of their son. They couldn't at that time really travel freely over to France or somewhere else. And this has been up, and it was put up originally by the American Legion on their own property. And then what happened is many years later, many decades later, of course, Washington, D.C. growing and new highways. Well, they used eminent domain because they were moving highways nearby. They didn't want to bother the memorial, but they took over, you know, control of that property to run their highway,
right,
and they left the memorial intact. And then the American Humanists said, you have to tear this down because we can't have a memorial that looks like a cross on government land. And
you know, the same argument can be made at Arlington National Cemetery. We got Gene on Facebook writes, Kelly, that these men died for our freedoms, leave the cross where it is. Kimberly wrote, I wish courts would stop giving into what's heckler's veto. And that's basically what it is. It's the offended observer. someone says, well, I'm offended by the cross, therefore you have to remove it. And if you go to Arlington Cemetery, you're going to see Stars of David, you're going to see Crescent and Moons, you're going to see crosses. They have, by the way, memorials at Arlington that have religious items in it, Stars of David and crosses and others. So this is, I mean, if you start removing this kind of heckler's veto, you're going to be redoing the landscape of the United States of America. But Jordan, to your point, redoing history.
That's right, because this memorial specifically, 93 years old. I mean, as Kelly said, this is put up by the mothers and fathers of those who served in World War One. It was initially a World War One, purely a World War One monument. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, and check out our website, aclj.org, or First Liberty as well, because you can see the photo to understand the history behind the memorial itself. And as Kelly explained, initially this was land owned by the American Legion. Government takes it by eminent domain. And by that fact, now someone in 2014 who said they felt excluded by the memorial, right, which, by the way, was for and is initially for those sons who fought in Bladensburg, Maryland. Like it's 'cause this was a memorial for about 40-ish people who served. It was not a national monument, a national memorial, right. And by the way, they did expand around it to include other veterans. Memorials, but I think Kelly, people would be shocked when they visited to see what this is all about. That this has become a constitutional crisis instead of something that you leave as part of American history and make sure it's protected. So long as the roads change and highways change, that this is protected because it's part of American history.
During the oral argument, one of the appellate judges asked whether if they just cut the arms off the cross, that would take care of any problems. I kid you not. It's not surprising we got a bad decision from the Fourth Circuit, but Jay pointed out appropriately that Fourth Circuit within the Fourth Circuit is also Arlington National Cemetery. So right. If the Supreme Court had not taken this, and if they don't overrule it, they've got to go in. The cross of sacrifice is, a very large cross in Arlington. The Argonne Cross, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, so it's known but sure. to God. I mean, you have to sandblast that off. So
Kelly, what the legal argument's going to be here. I mean, I think it's important for our audience to understand what the legal issue presented in the case is, because there's been a lot of these before. We had the Mount Soledad Cross, and that went up on emergency stays. Remember that one back a few years ago. So we've had these before. But what is the primary legal issue of which certiorari was granted here?
Well, it's what you and I know it's an improper term, but what the general people hear and refer to as separation of church and state. But it's the Establishment Clause. They're saying that to have a veterans memorial that has any religious imagery on it on government land is now unconstitutional and somehow establishes religion and violates the Establishment Clause, which the founders would be shocked to find out that this is a new argument. And Jay, this is the other thing that's really neat about this case is we now have five justices who really are people who want to follow the words of the Constitution, what the founders meant. I feel confident that there's a good opportunity that in this case we might start seeing the doctrine go back to what the founders really did instead of the things that have been made up by the courts.
You know my rule, though, Kelly. I go into these cases. We go into these cases assuming we're down 4-5. That's how I go into them, and I know you are too. You always go in assuming you've got to persuade, and that's what you've done. And of course, the fact that the courts heard it is great, great work. By the way, let me encourage you to do something. I want you to encourage you here in November to support the work of First Liberty on this, because they're really doing a great job on these memorial crosses. They've got them. I mean, there's been we can't even talk about half the cases that it's involved because now there's one at the Supreme Court. And what's the best website for people to donate and support the work?
Just go to firstliberty.org, and they can get the information. They can support the Bladensburg case and any other veterans cases we have. We've got a number of other ones as well.
I encourage people to do it. All right, well, Kelly, while we got you on the phone here, let's go ahead and take a phone call, Jordan. We're taking your calls, especially from veterans. 1-800-684-3110. Go ahead.
Jerry's calling in from Rhode Island with a question. He's a veteran as well. We thank him for his service, but also about what happened in Arlington National Cemetery. Jerry, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jerry.
Hello, good morning. Hello, and thank you to the two colonel service. Mr. Shackelford, Jay mentioned Arlington. Didn't the President Lincoln bury Union dead on Robert E. Lee's obtained farm, and that's how Arlington was spread? That land was taken. isn't there an analogy here to this in the Bladensburg case?
Well, it's federal land. I mean, it was the Lee estate. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, and I mean, it would affect, as Jay was mentioning earlier, I mean, this affects not just federal land. This affects, I bet, in every community of everybody listening right now, every community of every state in this country, there are veterans' memorials. There are cemeteries. They have religious imagery. If we're going to have to start bulldozing those everywhere all across the country, I mean, I just think it's breathtaking what will happen if this is not overturned. And so this affects all government land. It could be your local community. It could be your state. It could be anywhere. But again, I think we all know these things exist in our own communities, pretty much in every community of every state of this country.
You know, Kelly, that reminds me a lot. I hope the result is the same of the case I did at the Supreme Court. You remember because you all were involved about 8 years ago involving the Ten Commandments monument at the in Utah at Pleasant Grove. And there we actually won the case unanimously, although it was on a different kind of issue. But you've had those Ten Commandment cases that have come down, the famous two that were split, one saying the monument could stay, the other one saying inside the building it could not. But here you've got facts. I mean, the history just speaks to the importance of this.
It does. It's, you know, again, the American Legion is the one who's been carrying the load defending this case for these many years. It's only recently that Maryland has now jumped in to join them at the Supreme Court. This is incredible. I mean, this goes back 100 years. The individual stories, I would encourage people, if they want, we have these things, they're online under our facts for the Bladensburg case. Look at the stories of these men. I mean, some of these men were tremendous heroes.
Sure.
And what they did, they won awards not only in America, but from France and other governments for their heroism. And that marker has been sitting there as their moms wanted to, because they couldn't go to France or they couldn't go across the pond to see their son's remains or the cross that was above their cemetery or their gravestone. This is it. And the idea that we would, you know, bulldoze this down after 100 years, I think is breathtaking.
Not going to happen.
The facts are clear.
Not going to happen.
Facts are clear.
Kelly Shackelford is the president and chief counsel for First Liberty. Go to firstliberty.org. We encourage you to support their work, like their Facebook pages as well. He's leading the charge on this. We're happy to come alongside with an amicus brief. But Kelly's been doing a great job on these veteran cases for a long time, over a decade. We appreciate the work, Kelly. Thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you, Jay.
All right. All right, we're going to get a good result here, but as I said, I always go into these assuming you're behind. That's the way to litigate these cases. That's the best way to do it. All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110, especially veterans. We want to hear from you today. We'll be joined by two of our veterans in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're being joined by two of our veterans. Our senior military analyst, Colonel Wes Smith, is in our media center today, and Colonel Skip Ash is in our center over at Regent University. And I'm going to, before we get into anything, and I'm going to thank everybody that's listening that's a veteran or currently serving. Thank you for your service. But I also want to specifically thank our two that are here with us today. And Skip, I had you do this before, but I think it'd be really important for people to know where you served, when you went into the Army, how long you served. I'm going to ask the same thing of Wes.
Okay. I'm a West Point graduate. I graduated in 1972, so I was commissioned in armor from 1972. I went through initial schooling at Fort Knox, Kentucky, and Fort Benning, Georgia. My first tour was in Korea, and I served two tours in Korea, one as a platoon leader, one as a battalion commander. In between, I was served at Fort Hood, Texas, in the 1st Cavalry Division. I went to the Defense Language Institute to study German and went to a graduate schooling in the University of Zurich in Switzerland. I taught at West Point for a tour, 3 years in the History Department. I went to the Commander General Staff College at Fort Leavenworth, and then I went over to a tank battalion in Germany where I was the battalion operations officer and then the executive officer. And ultimately, my career ended. I was in the Pentagon. I served for 3 years as the NATO desk officer in the Office of the Deputy Chief of Staff of Operations and Plans on the Army staff.
Wow.
And then my final year, I served as a strategist in the Office of the Secretary of Defense.
And Colonel Smith.
Yes, sir. I was commissioned in 1987 as a chaplain candidate, and then the next year commissioned as a chaplain first lieutenant, retired after 26 years as a full colonel. As I mentioned during the break, joined the Army and saw the world, stationed in Korea and Germany, Fort Lewis, Washington, Fort Sill, Oklahoma, Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, Fort McPherson in Atlanta, Fort Carson, Colorado, on the headquarters department of the Army staff at the Pentagon for a time. And then I finished up my active service those 26 years as the senior ranking chaplain at Dover Air Force Base, honoring those who were killed in action in Iraq and Afghanistan and in other missions, and also meeting with all of those families. This deal with the Bladensburg Cross is especially close to my heart, Jay, because my first year at the Pentagon, when I was assigned there, they had not redone the casualty notification policy in a number of years since the first Gulf War. And I was the project officer, and we totally redid the program of how we notify parents and husbands and wives and other family members when their soldier or sailor or airman or Marine has been killed. And we spent a year redoing how we tell families that their loved one is now dead, that they've paid the ultimate sacrifice. And so this Bladensburg Cross issue and issues like that, I find very, very offensive, because I've been up close and personal with people who have lost their service member. And it's just a travesty that this person and the American Humanist have come up with this. I thought it was really rich that the person who's a part of this lawsuit said that as they run their errands, they felt excluded by this cross. The emphasis such being nonsense. They felt excluded. This cross is not about them. It's not supposed to make them feel included. It's about the 160,000 men who died in World War I, especially those from Prince George's County.
Yeah. Jordan, you know, the American Humanist Association, go ahead. I know what you're going to say.
What Wes brought out was very important is that this was a local monument for the boys, many would call them boys and men, who sacrificed, some who never returned home. But it was a monument to all who served, not just for those who died. Though in some sense, as Kelly had said earlier in the broadcast, it was like a gravestone and seen that way. Expanded as we expanded Armistice Day to encompass Veterans Day. But I think it's so rich that here we are celebrating the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. And we're fighting out still in courts in the United States for a memorial that's nearly as old as the end of World War I itself. It's 93 years yep. old. And it's because someone just doesn't like and sees it feels excluded. It was not a monument built in 2016, let's say, for all veterans. This was a monument built back right after the end of World War I, so nearly 100 years ago, for the Prince George's County, and specifically the Bladensburg area. So about 40 or some odd men, and as they'd say, boys, who served in World War One, some who never returned, and it was to them. And they're primarily Christian. This was not controversial. It was on private property at the time, and it was through eminent domain and other actions later that caused it to even be
right.
part of the government property. But this is part of our history and heritage, and as Wes said, everything is not to make us feel included. Some things are for specific, you know, the Vietnam War memorial, not religious in nature, but it's not to make me feel included. It's for the veterans of the Vietnam War and those who passed away in the Vietnam
for
War. You know,
yes.
yeah, I mean, it's for
yes.
them and their families. It's not for all of us. We can all acknowledge their sacrifice, but it's not for everyone. I mean, that's why we have so many different memorials and monuments all over our nation's capital. And as Kelly said, in cities across the country, there are these kind of memorials. The Gold Star families are doing it now.
If you were going to take apart every Star of David, every cross, every crescent and moon, crescent and star that's put up as a memorial somewhere, you know, and because of an offended observer, you'd be removing the history of the United States. I mean, that's just what it is. Go to Arlington and try that. Let's go ahead and take phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's take a call.
Anthony's calling from North Carolina on line one. Anthony, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Anthony.
God bless y'all, each and every one of y'all, Brother Jay and Brother Jordan and Colonel Smith and everybody else. You know, it's a day after Veterans Day. I just got through going through Chick-fil-A and getting me a free Chick-fil-A sandwich for, you know, because Chick-fil-A was not open. But I would just like to really commend y'all on what you're doing for this situation because, you know, a cross is a very important part of a person's life. That's where God the Father Son to down the cross for our sins. And, you know, I would just like to, like I said, commend y'all very much on what you're doing. You know, I served in the Air Force from 81 to 84, did 4 years in the United States Air Force. And, you know, I was in air support. And yep. I just find it very interesting that people are trying to do this. I mean, it's like you're trying to take away what has been instituted for many, many, many years.
Well, and almost 100 years here. And what's interesting about this one, and again, Anthony, thanks for your service. I'm going to go to Skip Ash on this really quickly. Skip, I mean, the cross has been deemed, we put this in briefs before, as a symbol of sacrifice.
Absolutely. And the cross it does have religious significance, but it was not used in this case for that purpose. It was used in this case as a sign of remembrance and respect for the sacrifice made by those men those 49 men from that county, their families. So they had a place to go. Remember that most of the dead and wounded of these wars are buried overseas. They haven't been brought to the United States. And so unless you can go over and visit the grave, very often you have a local symbol, a local cross or some other memorial that you can go to remember your loved one. And I think that's significant. All across the country, in virtually every town, they have these memorials.
No, I think you're absolutely correct. All right, we're taking a break. Remember, there's another 30 minutes of the broadcast. Just go over to Facebook, Jay Sekulow, or also on Periscope, you can watch it, or at aclj.org, and of course, multiple television platforms as well. All right, we'll take your calls. We want to hear from veterans, and we are. 1-800-684-3110, where the case we're talking about is the Blandenburg Cross. Our friends at First Liberty are handling that case. We're filing a friend of the court brief, or have filed friend of the court briefs on that, or are about to file, and 220,000 signatures about on that petition. You can sign that petition at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. But also, don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Jordan's going to let you know how you can help on that.
That's right. So you go to aclj.org, you'll see the matching challenge donation button. Whatever you donate to the ACLJ this month is doubled. So it's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ, whether it's the Bladensburg Cross, the persecuted Christians. Go to aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, we're celebrating Veterans Day in honor of the men and women that serve our country and have served our country and continue to serve our country in that sense. And we've got two of our own veterans with us, Skip Ash, a colonel, retired United States Army. Also, Colonel Wes Smith, also retired United States Army. And we're also talking about the Blandenburg Cross case. This is a cross, memorial cross that's been around, Jordan. Give it a little bit of the history of that again. It's at the Supreme Court of the United States right now.
So I was surprised. When this first came out in 2014, it was challenged by the American Humanist. I asked one of our staff there, lived in Maryland. I said, you know, how far is this from our office in D.C.? I was there at the time, and right around the corner. Was what I was told. I mean, literally 10 minutes down the road. So I said, well, let's go. And we put the video, I remember putting the video out, put it up online for people then to see this cross. It's in this roundabout. Not particularly, again, that's a beautiful photo of the cross, but I will tell you, around it is local businesses, and it's a road. I mean, it's a large monument, but it's nothing like you'd see right down the street in Washington, D.C., kind of monument capital, if you will. It is 93 years old, so it was put up right after. I mean, they started the plans for this right after Armistice Day, right after the end of World War One, and that's what it was. It was a World War One remembrance. Now it's seen as the Peace Cross, the Bladensburg Peace Cross in Prince George's County, Maryland, and it does represent the bigger veterans. Like the holiday itself, it's been expanded to represent all veterans and the sacrifice. But yep. As Kelly Shackelford said, and as was pointed out too by Wes, in many senses, this is the gravestone for those who locally never made it home from World War One, and this was their family. So now it would be their generations on to be able to recognize, you know, a great-great-grandfather or even a great-great-great-grandfather who served, or an uncle, a great-great-uncle who served. And it's a way to continue to acknowledge those, because you may not have the resources or the ability or even know where they ultimately were buried in Europe, because so many were buried overseas. So this was where initially their mothers and fathers came and their wives came to acknowledge that they did not, you know, this was their grave. And they want to start tearing these gravestones down because they feel excluded.
Didn't want to say it.
They feel excluded by it. I think that's, we can't forget the history, the true history behind what this represented was not just a veterans memorial. It was a gravestone for those mothers and fathers who couldn't travel to France. They couldn't travel to Germany. They couldn't travel to the UK to where that their sons and daughters, their sons were buried. So they had a place to go locally to acknowledge them and their service and their sacrifice. And if you see the photos, as you saw from the 1900s, early 1900s, that's exactly what it was. I mean, it was a place of reverence. It wasn't public property at the time. It was private property owned by the American Legion. So these families had a place to go to celebrate and honor. You'd be tearing down a gravestone. We can't forget the history behind it. I think that's important. It's not just a memorial to veterans. It's a gravestone for those who, especially the 100th anniversary of World War One, were being reminded of that sacrifice, where sometimes we focus so much on World War II and more recent conflicts like Vietnam. In World War One, we now have these memorials coming under attack by these atheists and anti-Christian groups.
So First Liberty, our friend Kelly Shackelford was with us earlier. His organization is firstliberty.org. They have a great campaign up right now, and I encourage you to help them out financially if you can. Our veterans fought for us. Now we must fight for them. And they're the lead lawyers in this case. We're filing what's called a friend of the court brief. But I'm going to go to Skip Ash on this. Colonel Ash, these issues keep coming up. So it's now the time for the court to once and for all end this problem.
Absolutely. The jurisprudence in this area of the law is so confused in the United States that they need to take a stand. And if they take a clear stand, then this will resolve the problem nationwide. And I hope they do that.
All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Wendy on Facebook said, thank you, Wes and Skip, for all your service. We echo that. Jim on Facebook said, I'm offended by a lot of things these days, but don't go around suing people. Is there any way to limit these type of lawsuits? Well, that's the idea here, that the offended observer would no longer be a basis upon which you can bring it, literally create something into a federal case. All right, we'll take more calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And
so we're going to play that version of Lee Greenwood's great hit, Proud to Be an American, at the end of the broadcast. We'll keep playing it during the breaks here as well. We had a lot of fun doing that with Lee Greenwood a couple years ago in honor of Veterans Day. All right, well, let's go right back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the Blandenburg Cross. We're talking about Veterans Day. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, Jordan? And we are taking your calls, too, and we would love to hear from veterans and family of veterans today on the broadcast specifically so we can honor you. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've got some lines open because we've been taking calls throughout the broadcast today. And David's calling in from Florida on line four. David was from the air in Bladensburg. David, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, David. Hi. God bless you. God bless you all. I just want to say, when I was a youngster, I lived in Southeast Washington. We used to go by the cross all the time in the car, and my parents would tell me what this cross meant. And I left this country in 1957, I think it was, and returned back here in 1968. And the first thing I wanted to do was to go to see that cross. I feel it's a part of me. I was in the military, and when I went there, it just reminded me what I have done for the military. And I would just hate to see that cross be torn down. So I just wanted to let you know.
Well, David, that's exactly the reason why we fight these cases, why First Liberty's done so many of these cases, why we've come alongside them. We've had a lot of these memorial cases as well, Mount Soledad Cross. But, Wes, we're hearing from veterans that are impacted by this.
Absolutely, Jay. This lawsuit is an affront to every Gold Star family in the nation. It just is. You can't take the history and traditions of the United States and divorce them from this all-encompassing, I hate to use the word generic, but this all-encompassing faith. We have prayers in Congress, in the House of Representatives, and at other federal events. We have a church in Washington, D.C., designated as the National Cathedral. The first Congress, one of the first acts they did was to establish chaplains in both houses of Congress and in the United States Army at the time. So this lawsuit, I have confidence the Supreme Court's going to make the right decision. I pray that they will. But this lawsuit, on the face of it, and I think of the almost 1,200 families that I dealt with at Dover, This lawsuit, on the face of it, is an insult and an affront to anyone who's ever lost a loved one in military service.
Let me bring Professor Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy, in on this, because Professor Hutchinson's been handling these issues of the Establishment Clause and monuments and writing about it for a long time. Harry, what's your sense of this?
Well, Jay, I think the quintessential question before the Supreme Court is, will the justices allow the Establishment Clause to be weaponized to desecrate the gravestones of the fallen? In other words, will we continue to honor the memory of the people that gave the ultimate sacrifice in World War I? And it strikes me that the opponents of the monument, the American Humanist Association, essentially they have weaponized secularism. They believe in a muscular form of secularism that would denude American history of its religious connection. And I think that is inconsistent with history, it's inconsistent with the Constitution, and I think it's inconsistent with American ideals.
All right, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, especially we want to hear from veterans. Skip, talk about this from a personal side. You've come from a long history in your family of military service. When you see these kind of cases, which we've seen a lot of over the years, we've had good success, great success, I would say, but what's your sense when you see this?
Well, you know, when I look at this, I think when if you've been in the military, there's a bond that is built between you and your fellows. And you really do become a band of brothers. And therefore, I'm offended when I see somebody come up and attack a memorial to people who have gone before. You know, this World War I was the war to end all wars. Well, that didn't happen. But those people went over with the idea they were going to protect the values of the United States. It's on their heritage that I built and I served. And now there are people serving after me. And now... We're all volunteers. Nobody is serving because they have to. So these people come in and they expect certain things from society. And one of those things is respect and support. And then when we have people come in like this and attack the very symbols of the sacrifice made by our fellows who've gone before, it's just very disconcerting to me. And it really concerns me that the country, if we continue to do this, we are disrespecting the military. And we are the very ones, as you have pointed out, who are willing to go and put their lives on the line to protect us back here in the United States, to protect our values, to protect our families, to protect our nation. And to me, it's just insufferable for these people to get up and say, this has to come down because I'm offended just by looking at it. That's not enough.
You know, Wes, you said your last tour of duty was at Dover, where you received the remains of our men and women that paid the ultimate sacrifice. You also were there for the return of Ambassador Stevens in Benghazi. So as a chaplain, when you read these cases, and you're also legally trained, how do you view it?
You know, it's just, it seems so frivolous on the surface of it. You know, the people in America, I think by and large, at some level, have some sort of spirituality. They have some religious faith as their underpinning. I know from the families that I met with at Dover, whether or not they attended church or synagogue or mosque on a regular basis, in times of tragedy and crisis, and that's what they were in when they came to Dover to receive the body of their loved one, faith was very, very important to them. To most of the Gold Star families I know, faith is very important to them. You know, we entered World War I very late in the war. France and the UK had been fighting for a long time. We were in that war for only 18 months, and yet 160,000 U.S. service people died in that war. And this monument was put up by the American Legion and their families to honor their sacrifice. As we've said before, it is a type of gravestone, because in those days, we didn't have places like Dover Air Force Base. When you died in battle overseas, you were buried overseas. You go across Europe today, and I was stationed there. The military cemeteries there don't have marble arches. They have religious symbols on every grave. There are tens of thousands of crosses in those U.S. cemeteries. And it speaks to the sacrifice of these men and women. It also speaks to this faith that they may not like it, but there's an element of faith that's been the underpinning of our nation since its founding.
No question about it. You cannot ignore the Judeo-Christian heritage of our country. If you do, you're ignoring history. All right, we're going right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. We're talking to veterans and families of veterans. Who do we have, Jordan?
Judy called in from Virginia on line one. Judy, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Judy, you're on the air.
Thank you, gentlemen. I certainly appreciate it. My father was World War II Air Force, and my cousin was also buried at Arlington Cemetery, and he was Navy. My comment is, I'm just brokenhearted over what's going on with this country. It just seems our history is being rebuked. I almost feel helpless. I don't even know what to do, because when you call your local congressmen and senators, they just really and truly don't seem to be proactive in our history. And I'm just brokenhearted. I don't know what to do.
Well, I'll tell you what a lot of people have done. We've got over 220,000 signatures, almost 220,000 signatures, on our petition to support this cross. It'll be filed, a brief filed with the Supreme Court of the United States, and support the work of groups like the ACLJ or First Liberty, who we had Kelly Shackelford on earlier. And don't lose hope. I mean, the thing you got to remember here is, ultimately, I think we're going to win this. Look, I always go into cases assuming that you were behind. But the fact of the matter is, not only is history on our side, so is precedent. Jordan?
Yeah, and I think also remember that, as Kelly noted, Maryland has gotten behind this as well to join the American Legion. So you've got, don't feel hopeless. A state where this is located is also ready to defend through their legal office. So the state of Maryland has joined in the defense of the Bladensburg Cross as well as the American Legion, groups like the ACLJ and First Liberty putting together petitions. So don't worry. It's so much about members of Congress as it is getting the state involved where it's located is very important. Getting the American Legion, huge organization, getting groups like the ACLJ, First Liberty, all together. It's a great way to activate. It's a great petition to sign. People may not have signed this petition yet with over 200,000 signatures. We know there's plenty of people out there who have not signed it yet, but it's been a long battle. Here it's now reached the pinnacle. It's reaching the pinnacle. So go to ACLJ.org right now and sign this petition if you haven't yet. It's a great way to get activated on this day where we're acknowledging Veterans Day, that was yesterday, but the federal holiday today here in the U.S., to go and sign a petition. We asked you to do that for the veterans to preserve the Bladensburg Cross, to join the committee to preserve that cross. It's now heading to the U.S. Supreme Court. And let me add, we've got our matching challenge right now at ACLJ.org. Whatever you're able to donate online is doubled as we approach planning for the next year. Can you believe that already? But we are planning for the next year ahead and taking on new cases we haven't even discussed yet on Christian persecution, others here in the U.S. and around the world. Go to ACLJ.org. Have your donation doubled. Make an online donation today. It's very simple at ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Back as we celebrate Veterans Day, we also are preparing amicus brief, friend of the court brief, to go to the Supreme Court of the United States defending the Blandenburg Cross, which is World War One memorial. Our friends at First Liberty are leading that case. Kelly Shackelford was on with us earlier, but we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Before we take a call, let me go to Harry Hutchison, our director of policy. Looking at this case, Harry, from a precedent value, the significance of what happens here will have, dramatic repercussions throughout the country.
Absolutely. So the number of cases which raise the issue of a cross, let's say, in a public space, have proliferated, particularly because a number of organizations, such as the American Humanist Association, have challenged U.S. history. But I think it's important to note what Justice Kennedy said in a similar case. A Latin cross is not merely a reaffirmation of Christian beliefs. It is a symbol often used to honor and respect those whose heroic acts, noble contributions, and patient strivings help secure an honored place in history for this nation and its people. It evokes thousands of small crosses in foreign fields, marking the graves of Americans who fell in battle, battles whose tragedies are compounded if the fallen are forgotten. So I think it's important to note that the argument against the cross is grounded in the notion of the offended observer. So it's really the offended observer, rather than the reasonable observer, who wishes to exercise, if you will, a heckler's veto on American history. And I hope the Supreme Court will not allow that to move forward.
I'm optimistic that we will be successful, but as I said, always go into these cases, assuming you got the burden. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Jordan.
And if you do want to talk to us as we are finishing out the show today, you still got time to join us. 1-800-684-3110. We'd love to hear from veterans and veterans' families. 1-800-684-3110. Michael is joining us from Georgia on line one. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Michael.
I thank you guys for what you're doing. Sorry, I'm a little emotional here. But they can't do this. I joined the Marine Corps, my best buddy out of high school. He got killed, and I brought him home through Dover to his family, to his wife who was pregnant. How can they even think of doing stuff like this?
Well, look, Michael, this is exactly why we're fighting. And Colonel Smith, this is exactly what you said earlier, the historical significance of this, but the emotional connection on these issues is very deep.
Yeah, you know, faith is very, very important to most people who lose a loved one. It's why, you know, 95% or more funerals in America have a religious part of the funeral. And I sympathize and empathize with that caller, because this touches the very heart of people whose loved ones have made that supreme sacrifice. And contrary to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, that cross does not offend our Constitution. And hopefully the Supreme Court will put this to rest. But I would encourage all of our listeners today, Jay, to pray for the families who have lost loved ones. The military service is just dangerous, no matter where you are. We had a young father of seven, Major Brent Taylor, killed last week in Afghanistan. So on this Veterans Day, we honor all who wear the uniform, but I would encourage people, especially in light of this whole controversy over this memorial cross, to say a special prayer today for the families of people who have lost loved ones in military service.
No, very well said. Colonel Ash, I was going to ask you for kind of your impressions. We just heard that last caller.
Well, I agree with him. It's emotional. The one at West Point who directed me to the person who led me to the Lord was lost in action in Vietnam. I've seen his name on the memorial at Washington. I cannot help but weep every time I see it.
This is the reality of why we and organizations like ours and First Liberty and others fight for these cases, because it impacts people right where they are. And you're hearing the motions from the caller that called in. You're hearing the motions from Wes and from Skip. These are these are real issues with real people. And sometimes you look at it and you say, well, it's just a monument. But it Jordan, you said this earlier. Yeah. It's so much more than just a monument.
No, I mean, for those families who are connected to it from World War One, it is a gravestone, because there was not a Dover. There was not that ability to bring your friend home, who you may have served with, as the last caller was able to do. It wasn't an option. The service members were buried overseas. So these were, in a sense, gravestones, and for local communities, that this American Humanist Association should be ashamed of itself for taking on a case like this. They should know their history better and pick on some other, you know, religious monuments that they'd like to do, but maybe go after some nativity scenes. But this is different. You know, these are our veterans and those who served. And in this sense, this goes past Veterans Day. The way it was a marker for armistice and for the end of World War One, because this is almost like a Memorial Day monument because of what it represented locally to the community. Then I fast forward to that caller we had who did not tell us what he served, but he served in Vietnam. And, you know, so he said he was overseas and served in our military for that 10-year time period. And the first thing he wanted to do, because he grew up near Bladensburg, was go see that cross, because it was a reminder at a time when a lot of veterans were coming home and not getting that kind of accommodation, if you will, and recognition. Came way too late for those Vietnam veterans, but they could go to those other war memorials and feel a symbol of recognition for what they had done. Was his exact words, was recognition for what he had done. Let's go take another call. Don in Virginia Beach, Virginia, online one. Don, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Big military area there in Virginia Beach, especially Navy. Go ahead, Don, you're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Yeah, I just want to let you guys know, I'm a retired Navy SEAL, 26 years.
Yes, sir.
And the majority of the guys that I served with were either atheist or agnostic. And, you know, and they fight for the freedoms, you know, for everybody, for all religions, no matter what your beliefs are. And it's astounding to me that, that these people come up with these ridiculous ideas, and I have a suggestion that maybe you could just put up some, horse blinders and maybe some caution signs for people that might get offended by anything, either walk by or walk down the street or whatever. But, you know, the guys that I serve with, they would never come up with something ridiculous like this and say, you know, hey, I'm offended by it. Or, you know, they never say anything like that. They know exactly what they're fighting for and what they're doing. And, you know, but I do appreciate everything that you guys do fighting for, against these type of claims and laws, ridiculous lawsuits, as I see it. But you guys are amazing. I appreciate your support, you guys, and everything that you do.
Thanks, Don.
All your positions.
We appreciate your service to the country. So let me say this. First of all, I'm going to read a couple of comments here. Laura on Facebook says, can't these things be protected as historic monuments? Sarah on Periscope says, it's totally appropriate to acknowledge people and groups with memorials. They don't have to represent everyone. Steven on Facebook says, Marine Corps veteran here. Thanks for recognizing all veterans today. So this is exactly why we fight. And James on Facebook said, I just want to say thank you for what you're doing and protecting this memorial. I served in the Navy from 1977 to 1992. Well, that's why we're here. When we come back, we're going to be for Facebook and Periscope. We're going to play that Lee Greenwood tune for you, Proud to Be an American, at the conclusion of this broadcast. But again, we are in a matching challenge campaign on all of these cases we talk about. You can be part of our team. Jordan?
That's right. You can sign the petition at ACLJ.org, and you can donate to the work. Right now, if you donate to the work, your donation is doubled through the matching challenge at ACLJ.org. You'll see the matching challenge donation button right on the top of the homepage at ACLJ.org. A great time to support the work we do.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.